Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we are discussing health literacy. Our guests, Dr. Iris Feinberg and Jennifer Harris. Now, you can join this conversation. Health literacy. Do you understand health information so that you can really make the appropriate health decisions for you and your family? We want to hear from you. Call us now, 404-880-9255, or join us on Twitter at CCRTD. Your questions, your comments, your experiences are welcome. I'm Paula Gwen Grant, and I'm so glad that you're both with us. Have a little touch of a cold, but that's why we do a health show, so that we can learn more, and tonight's subject is perfect. Health literacy. Dr. Iris Feinberg, you are over at Georgia State, and this is what you focus on all the time, right? I mean, as Assistant Director of Adult Literacy Research Center there at Georgia State, this is what you do, right?
Yes, that's right.
What is health literacy?
Health literacy is it's two-sided. Mm-hmm. On the patient or the consumer side, it's the ability to access, understand, and use information, use health information,
yes,
either in your daily life, like should I take the elevator or should I walk the stairs going up to my office, or when you're in a medical situation and you're at the doctor's office or in the emergency room. The other side of it is the provider side, mm-hmm, which is how information is given to people. Is it understandable? Does it make sense? Can I follow those instructions when I get home? So the work that we do focuses both on patients or consumers and on those who provide health information, clinicians, the insurance company, pharmaceutical companies, et cetera.
Interesting. Jennifer Harris, you're over at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, and this is what you do all day as a health communications specialist, correct?
Yes.
Health literacy is your world. Talk to us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I am a health communications specialist at CDC, and I see a lot of different health topics that come through my office, and all of them have a basis in health literacy.
Really? What do you mean?
So, for instance, if I'm getting something from the Center of Global Health, if I'm getting something from the Diabetes Translation Center, that information that they have has to go out to someone out there in the world that is not government, which means, mm-hmm, that person needs to be able to use, understand, and process the information that they're given. So our job in our office is to make sure that the information that they're sending out is understandable, clear, and can actually be used to help people better their health.
And that is the challenge, right? I mean, really, we get instruction from doctors, and we as patients leave a little puzzled. Sometimes it's the shock of what it is that was said to you, but most of the time it's the amount of information that's being given. So what can we do as patients, as regular people going to see a doctor and trying to process that information? How do we improve our health literacy, Dr. Feinberg?
So it is definitely up to the two people who are communicating to each take a different role. Mm-hmm. So for the patient's side, the patient needs to be able to ask the doctor, well, what is my main problem? And what do I need to do? And why is it important that I do these things? Those three questions came from the National Patient Safety Foundation. It's, the program is called Ask Me Three. Mm-hmm. And doctors can have a poster put up in their offices so that patients can see it all the time. Patients need to take charge of the situation. Now, look, we've all been in the doctor's office.
Oh, that's so difficult.
I know.
Oh,
it's so
that's
scary.
Intimidating, too. It's very intimidating. We don't want to be the annoying patient.
There's no such thing as an annoying patient, just like there's no such thing as a dumb question.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's your health. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to leave the doctor's office knowing what to do next. So what I often think about is, what are the tools that patients can use that we have at our disposal? Mm-hmm. We've all sat in the doctor's office, you know, half undressed, feeling anxious, mm-hmm, no matter what your literacy level is. So what I like to do actually is audio record the conversation on my phone.
Nice.
Because I'm not going to remember what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's something, if it's just a few easy steps, I'll take out a piece of paper and a pencil and I'll write it down, or I'll ask them for a piece of paper and a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, when I get home, I don't have to rely on my memory, which was,
yes,
you know, in a total anxiety-ridden situation.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we know from research that patients only remember 40% of what they hear in the doctor's office.
Really? So 40%? I mean, so now we don't feel so bad. Has this been your experience at the doctor? Have you been to the doctor and you're thinking, I didn't understand what the doctor just told me? Or you did and you felt empowered? Call us now with your experience and your questions about health literacy, 404-880-9255. 40% of the information given to us is all we understand when we walk out as patients. That's amazing.
It's a scary number.
Yes.
And, you know, as consumers, we ask more questions of our cell phones, people at the cell phone stores, than we do of our doctor, right? We'll say, does it make that buzzing noise?
Mm-hmm.
And can I use it at night?
Mm-hmm.
And does it have the funny camera thing? And
yeah,
how many
yeah
minutes do I get? And, you know, you get into the doctor's office and the doctor says, so, any questions?
And
we
go
just
silent.
Say, mm-hmm, no, it's okay.
But sometimes it's the atmosphere, too. I will say, when you're at the doctor and you can sense that, you know, you've been waiting a while, you know there are other patients waiting, you don't feel you have the time. You know, you feel rushed.
It's your health. It's your body. It's your responsibility to take care of yourself. No one else is going to do that for
mm-hmm
you.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the doctor doesn't want you to misunderstand what it was he or she said. They
uh
want you to leave and be able to do all the things that they just discussed with you.
Mm-hmm.
So and to
you
do it
feel
in the
better
right order.
Right,
right.
So you feel better.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Right. Do you have trouble or sometimes have wondered about the information you have received when you have gone to the doctor? Health literacy is what that's called. Using that information that we receive, perhaps even online. We'd love to hear your experience at 404-880-9255. So Jennifer, at the CDC, you get out and talk about this on a regular basis, don't you? You do
yes
trainings. How
do
does that work?
So for the agency, of course, we're all not just sitting around saying, I need to be health literate today. I need
mm-hmm
to write plainly today. I need to write clearly today. Because we've all been trained in our collegiate backgrounds to write and interpret things a certain way,
mm-hmm,
which is why we're here and our staff needs training. So we train each other on being clear in everything that we communicate. We use plain language principles. And the Plain Writing Act of 2010 was, when it was brought forth, we developed a set of criteria that we said we would meet as far as training our staff. And it also requires federal agencies to train their staff in plain language. So
oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, and that's what we do. And what we work on daily is making sure that our information that we put out is clear. That's the information that comes through our office. We try to make sure that it's clear and accurate and accessible in the best ways possible.
And that's at the CDC website. What is your web address?
The website is the CDC's web address is www.cdc.gov, but
mm-hmm
you can also find tools for on health literacy and plain language at www.cdc.gov/health literacy.
We're taking your questions about understanding health information so that you can use it for yourself and your family. What is your experience? Do you have questions about how to better understand health information? We are here, 404-880-9255. Call with your questions and your experiences right now. I know the internet is at the center of our world. We look up everything. We look up anything. We look up silly stuff. We look up, and Dr. Feinberg, you mentioned the cell phone store. You know, we love our gadgets. But how, in the case of health literacy, how do we best use the internet?
There is so much information and misinformation on the internet. It's
mm-hmm
really scary.
It is frightening, and you will think you're dying if you keep looking up health information. By the time you have, you know, perused enough websites, you've scared yourself.
Right. So there's something that we also research at the Adult Literacy Research Center, which is digital literacy or information literacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the ability to use the equipment, right? How do I use my smartphone? How do
mm-hmm
I use this laptop or this iPad, but it's understanding how to find the information and make sure that it's good information.
Yes, that is our challenge. So what are your tips for us to do better at that?
So never follow a website link that has some word misspelled or that has, you know, some great claim that, you know, 1,000% of people who ever tried this, you know, can now walk faster, whatever the claims are. Mm-hmm. If the claims are too good to be true, they're too good to be true.
Yes.
They're not real.
That is a great point.
So we do know that, you know, everybody can have poor health literacy.
Sure.
But oftentimes, there's a disproportionate portion of folks who have low literacy, who have low reading skills, mm-hmm. that also have really poor health literacy. And we need to do a better job of teaching information processes to kids in school.
Yes.
Right? You're doing a research project. This is how you don't go down that snake path.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they become adults, they also don't go down that snake path when they're looking up things about their health.
We're talking about health literacy and how you can use, you know, health information in a better way to make decisions for you and your family. And we'd love to hear your experiences and your questions right now for our experts. We are at 404-880-9255. Let's go to Bernadette in Atlanta. Hello, Bernadette.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, my question is, to make it more easier for the patient, I just wonder why the doctors don't provide what they call patient aftercare, a write-up. You know, so if I'm there, you know, for a flu-like symptom or whatever, I think it would be easier if they could just outline in some sort of form or something for the patient, this is what we saw you here for today. And this is, you know, we need you to do, you know, 1, 2, 3. I think that would help the patient, you know, because like you said, a lot of times when we leave, we only retain 40% of what we heard. So just wondering why they haven't implemented that.
That is a
wonderful. And I know Kaiser has. Kaiser mm-hmm. does, though. So.
Kaiser does that in your experience. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Bernadette. Jennifer, that sounds like a great tip. I mean, really, that would make things easier.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bernadette. And I also have Kaiser, and they do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that in order to get that process started, you have to make sure that you express that to your doctor's office. Or for folks who don't have a doctor that does those things, excuse me, that is the most important part, to be vocal on what it is you don't understand, what process you would like to see implemented or started. You have to be vocal on what it is you need as far as your health literacy goes.
That's a great point, Dr. Feinberg. Any more to add on that?
You know, when you leave the hospital, they give you a sheet of papers that hospital discharge instructions.
Yes.
And when you're leaving the hospital, your anxiety level is usually a little bit higher than when you're just at the doctor's office for a flu shot or,
sure.
you know, because you're not feeling well. There's a very fine balance between the legal system and our medical system, where most of the language that's used in hospital discharge instructions is legally based. Now, I'm not a legal expert, but I can tell you that people in the medical industry need to protect themselves from liability,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why those documents are so complicated.
We not get the clear, plain language that you're talking about? Could we not also, since they need to do the legal for the patient, can they do the simple, plain language?
Well, you know, I think it's a great suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get that from your doctor to give you, then again, as the patient, take the initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out your piece of paper and ask those questions. What am I supposed to do when I get home? Here are the 1, 2, 3 things. And then you have them.
That's wonderful. What is your experience as a patient? Have you gotten health information you felt you could not use? Or was your doctor wonderful and you got information you could use? We'd love to hear about your experience. We're taking your questions for our experts right now at 404-880-9255 as we discuss health literacy. Jennifer, you talk a lot about using plain language mm-hmm. and access of the information. How do you address the digital divide? You know, those that just aren't on, who aren't connected, who don't have computers, who, you know, just have a basic payphone in terms of a smartphone. They don't have a lot of features on their phone. How do you deal at the CDC with getting that information out to everyone, even those who are not online?
Well, first, we have a lot of information that shifts through the internet and online. So we try to make sure that everything is in a format that it can be printed. It can be in form of brochures. And then that's when we go into the communities. Mm-hmm. We have a CDC ambassador program to which they go out, or a community can request that someone comes out and talk to areas about certain things, whether it's at a local church or a community-based Boys and Girls Club or things of that nature. Mm-hmm. CDC ambassadors go out and give people the information that they need. They find subject matter experts and get them that information.
Oh, that's wonderful. We're taking your experiences, your questions at 404-880-9255. We're talking about health literacy, using health information when you, the patient, are sometimes a bit overloaded. We talk on the show about cancer, and we talk about tackling cancer and being proactive, just what you're describing, as we talk about being empowered to talk through your treatment. Health literacy is a major factor. We often take someone to the doctor with us. Is that a benefit, Dr. Feinberg?
It's a wonderful thing to do, to have somebody there to help you remember the questions that you wanted to ask, or to prompt you as the patient to speak about a certain issue that you just forgot. You know, doctors come into the room and they're trained in a certain way, and you want them to be that way, right?
Sure.
You need them to do a subjective and an objective evaluation. You need them to do an assessment. You need them to create a plan for you, right? But they're not really trained in the techniques of communication.
Which is too bad, you
it
know?
Is too
really,
bad.
It is, because to have all that knowledge but yet not be able to convey it in a way that is usable is tough for us patients. Go ahead, Jennifer.
And I also want to say that another issue that's really up and rising is the language barriers. We know that there are a lot of people here that have English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the preparation that if you know your doctor may speak English or another language primarily, then it is good to take someone with
you. Or dealing with accents.
Yes. Yes, take someone with you that can help you interpret or translate what your doctor or what you would like to tell your doctor.
Let's take a call from Decatur now. George, hello. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I had a question on how we can improve the health information given to the community to help change behavior. So we say that, say, breastfeeding is good, so why aren't more women breastfeeding? Or been saying for years, smoking is bad, but yet so many people smoke.
That's a great question. Go ahead, Dr. Feinberg. How do we tackle that? That is a great question. Thanks so much, George.
Yeah, health behavior, health and wellness, right, is a very tricky thing. There's a lot of psychology, individual psychology, that happens. People have their own sets of knowledge, right? They have as much scientific literacy as they may have. They have attitudes about certain things. They have beliefs about certain things, and those are things that are very, very hard to change. So we look to the field of behavioral economics, for example, and we say, why do rational people do irrational things, right? That's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're supposed to eat that apple, and we go eat that bag of potato chips.
Yeah.
So behavior is really, really tricky. There are many, many, many research studies right now about how do you nudge people, little bitty baby steps at a time. And part of that nudging individuals is also having the work that the CDC does in putting out, you know, campaigns that say, you know, wear your seatbelt, right? Click it or ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the CDC doesn't do that
right,
campaign.
That's the state,
right,
or,
right.
That's a federal
but
campaign.
But we want everyone to wear their seatbelt.
That's
right.
Exactly right.
We definitely do.
That's right.
But
drinking
but,
more water and doing things
right.
in our everyday life, you know, that we can do. The CDC has plenty of information, right, Jennifer?
Washing your fruits and vegetables and things of that nature, of course. And then I want to just point out that the basis or one of the basis of health literacy is definitely getting the information. You have it, you understand it, and you see it, but can you use that to make an actual health change, a behavior change?
Mm-hmm.
That's the core of what we're trying to do and why we think health literacy is so important. Because if you understand what the risk is for you, then you're more likely to make that behavioral change.
And we're hoping to hear your experience with that as a patient, as a person walking throughout the world, taking in information. What do you think? How do you take in health information and how do you use it to make good, smart decisions for you and your family? Call us with your questions and your experience right now at 404-880-9255, right here on Your Health Connection.
Did you know that the right foods can help fight prostate cancer? New studies show that fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other high-fiber foods reduce the risk of prostate cancer, and they may even improve your survival. And there's more good news. A diet that includes these foods can also help protect against diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. This announcement, in the public interest, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.